Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how he's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Great.
Wow. Very enthusiastic.
Of course.
Why is that?
Spirit-filled moment.
Oh, yeah, here we go. That's right.
I'm alive.
Good breakfast.
All right. Yeah,
this one.
Yeah, so there are some things to be grateful for. That's good. That's fantastic. We should be boisterous about about the joy of the Lord being in us. Absolutely, without a doubt. Well, gentlemen, this is the the second Sunday of Advent, and so we're embarking upon our Advent study. I want us to look back into the Old Testament as we anticipate the coming of Christ and kind of get a feel for how those who preceded the life of Christ anticipated, right, the Messiah coming. Does that make sense? Because we spoke last week how Advent is really about this anticipation, this arrival, this coming. Well, we live on the other side of the resurrection. We know that the Messiah came. We have kind of that privileged information, right? So then why celebrate Advent? Well, it's because we are anticipating his coming again, which then implies that we should behave, we should live according to that anticipation. Well, let's look back at Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and see how they anticipated this arrival and how they, meaning Israel, are called to live in anticipation of that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can I have someone read for us from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9?
Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smothering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will not bring forth justice. He will not flatter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. And his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord said, the creator of the heavens, who stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs forth from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. This is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, the new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, just to kind of bring our listening audience up to speed, before I ask for your insights, prior to our recording going on the air today, we talked about the structural components of chapter 42 of Isaiah. And we said that it's really the entire chapter is broken down into three components. And the first component, which we just heard read, is really kind of what the ideal is. The second one is the response to the ideal, which is usually kind of a praise, right? You know, if you have a certain a favorite athletic team, the ideal is that they win. And when they win, your response to the win, the victory, is,
hey,
yeah, all right, go champs, right? The third component is kind of what the reality is, all right? We live in the greater Detroit area, And so we wanted to use the athletic imagery, all right? Maybe every Sunday we are cheering for the Detroit Lions.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
The ideal is that the Lions would win.
Yes.
And we are happy, happy, happy when they do. Mm-hmm. The reality you just never know.
Nope. Never know.
The reality is they may not have all the key components to be as competitive as we would like them to be in the NFL. Fair? All right?
Yeah.
This is how Isaiah has used chapter 42. What we heard read today is the ideal. All right? Following that is a few scriptures on the hoorah of the ideal. At the end is kind of what the reality, right? So in these first 9 verses, the ideal, what jumped out at you? What did you hear that just kind of leapt into your heart that you'd like to share with our listening audience?
I myself, the miracles that he do, which to me, I know he just shows. I know myself, but to other people, and it should. It shows love, and he shows that he's loving, compassionate, and merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Even in times that we don't deserve it, because I've seen it in times that I felt I didn't deserve it at all, but it doesn't matter to God, because he's obviously those 3 things I just said, which is amazing.
Good, good. Anybody else?
Well, yeah, he's here down here in verse 6, it says he's called me in righteousness. And and he takes my hand and teaches me and guides me to become a light to those in darkness, to try to, in compassion and love, reveals justice, so to speak, love through justice towards. And I'm to be the one, I'm to be good example, I guess, so to speak, guided by his instruction, correcting my ways, because my ways, my road is full of potholes, and he smooths it out for me, and he shows me how to be in his corrective instruction to be a light, to where I open my eyes and ears and become more attentive and respond in compassion toward others.
Good. Good. Anybody else?
Being freed from my prison, God does that for me on a daily basis. I don't have to be captive of the world anymore. I have a choice today, and that's to live like God, be like him a little bit, quite a little bit, and I can carry that to the world and do the right things and practice justice, be against injustice. I might be one person, but I can make that step towards doing the right things today. The Spirit lives inside me. As Jesus was, flesh and spirit, so am I today, and I can take that and run with it if I choose and try to make this world a better place. The kingdom is here and now. I don't have to wait for it. It's what I choose to make of it. Take care of this world. Take care of my family. Let them know. Share with all you men here. So we all do this together, It's
absolutely
pulling together, being one. We are one in him.
Good. Anybody else?
I was going to say, you mentioned that you was in prison before, right? That you was
not
locked
literally,
up.
No.
Well, because they had me locked up, and they gave me a number, 236-243. That's my number I can never forget. I didn't know it at first, and I had a hard time going about it. I was locked up for 15 years.
It's a
cold cell, dark, no electricity, no showers, sometimes no food.
We're getting off the subject.
I mean, Isaiah does speak specifically about prisoners. Now, let's put this in its context. It's interesting, Mark, and both you and Jeff start hearing this word personally, right? Because you start, you know, I'm called, or I'm being set free, and so we see ourselves as the prisoner, which is okay, right? Contextually, we would say, okay, at the very beginning, the ideal pericope, right, the pericope of the ideal, I should say, this little section within Isaiah 42 that speaks of the ideal is, I have a servant. God is speaking, I have a servant. Now, in this context, the servant is Israel. And the servant, whose spirit is upon him, meaning Israel, that we have a covenant, will bring justice. Verses 1 through 4 are going to speak about the characteristics of this covenant servant, Israel. Now, when we get to the latter part of 42, we'll see that the covenant servant hasn't been, the reality is, the covenant servant hasn't lived up to this idea. All right? Now, we could say, based on what you guys communicated earlier, that we haven't lived up to the ideal either.
No.
But that God is blessing us by giving us the opportunity to live up to that ideal. That in a sense, you're coming to Lenawee County Mission has been God, right, breaking your bondage, your imprisonment, mm-hmm. whether it be literal or figuratively, whether our bondage or imprisonment is maybe our addiction, or maybe the way we think and all these other things. We are all prisoners. Well, that's the other part of this little ideal, verses 1 through 9, is where it states that it's implied that there are people throughout the world of this day and age of when Isaiah is written. And you're talking, you know, a few centuries before Christ comes. Because the covenant servant is to be a light to all nations. Mm-hmm. So it's speaking to the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's implied that there's exploitation and oppression taking place all over the world. And the covenant servant, right, that is called to be the light, is called to practice the justice, right, of liberating the oppressed and the exploited. So it's fascinating that we're starting to sense this on a personal level, that I am called by God to image Christ, because as Christians we'll look on the other side of the fulfillment of the first coming of Jesus and say, and there are oftentimes these scriptures are referred to him, right? For example, where it says that a bruised reed he will not break. You know, it gets used as part of his, when they're kind of beating him up and going to crucify him, he's not going to fight back. But that doesn't mean he didn't bring justice. And three times within those nine verses, it talks about he will bring justice. Now, the justice that they're speaking about is this form of restoration. If the reality is we're not quite living up to the ideal, then we need to be restored to the ideal. And so what you're experiencing as you speak on your personal level is that God is restoring you to the ideal. And the ideal is God's intention for God's creation. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Which would include things like mercy and compassion and love. And so in the ideal, when God calls a covenant servant, in this case, it's Israel. In a Christian's perspective, we'd say it's Jesus. But being post-Jesus, it's us. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019. Until next week, may God's grace and peace be yours.